Hey, I told you to move the beans.
All you have to do is move it.
Move the beans.
Hey, move the beans.
M-O-V-E.
This is the Move the Beans podcast. Stories of ordinary habits that have extraordinary results. Here's your host, Dan Abaticola.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Move the Beans podcast. Stories of ordinary habits that have extraordinary results. Thanks for joining me. I know you have a lot of choices out there. Over 850,000 podcasts, and you've chosen to listen to the Move the Beans podcast because you want to hear stories of ordinary habits that have extraordinary results. And before we jump in with our guests, let's take care of some business and give a shout out to a couple of our sponsors. Our longtime standing sponsor, Dominion Lighting and Solar, for all of your LED upgrade needs and solar needs, reach out to Dominion Lighting and Solar at dominion.solar, especially if you're in the Chicagoland area and need help with some of your upgrades. They can get grants for you to help you pay for those LED and solar upgrades. Reach out to the team at Dominion Lighting and Solar at dominion.solar. They will help you out. And then one of our new sponsors, Events Party Rentals. They will help you out with all of your party needs, whether you need tents, tables, chairs, whatever you need to make your party weatherproof and just an extra special added touch for that outdoor party. Reach out to Event Party Rentals at eventspartiesrental.com and they can help you out. So episode 35, I thought it would be awesome to have my good friend on, Colleen Billing. She is a homeschooling expert. She wouldn't say that, but I would. With about 20 years of homeschooling her own 5 children, she's kind of at the tail end of that, but she shares some tips and habits to encourage all of us who are jumping into the homeschooling for the first time, like we are here at our household with little Gracie. Or if you have been forced to do a little bit of homeschooling yourself with this remote learning, with the schools being shut down still, she'll give you some tips and some habits to make and create an environment that is better for learning for your children. And that ultimately is the goal. Colleen is a mom of 5, a wife of Andrew for the last 28 years. She's a conference speaker, owns her own business, been on many national radio programs talking about this kind of stuff. And she's just an all-around awesome person, and she can talk. I think I said a few words this episode, but it was better that way because she has a lot to share. And we just probably scratched the surface, and we're going to have her back probably sometime during the school year to kind of debrief some of the stuff that's happened since. I know I'm going to need a lot of more information jumping into schooling, homeschooling that is. So I think you're really going to love this episode. She's fun, and she's really informative. Let's just hope that we kind of get through this all together with this homeschooling or this remote learning. So without further ado, let's jump into the conversation with our friend Colleen Billing.
Move the Beans!
So let's welcome Colleen Billing to the Move the Beans podcast. How you doing, Colleen?
I'm doing great, Dan. Super excited to be here with you today.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I know you're a busy gal. Now, let's just get this out of the way. You just married one of your kids off, didn't you?
One down, 4 to go, Dan.
Oh my God. That's the same thing I'm in right now. I'm in that boat, 1 down, 4 to go. Like, how did a wedding go during the coronavirus?
Well, I'll tell you, it was an interesting experience. We ended up having to have the reception on the beach at a little cottage that we have in Michigan because venue number 1 and venue number 2, thank you, coronavirus, did not work out.
Yeah.
And because we had to do that, we had a small wedding and it was absolutely beautiful. And we got the absolute perfect day. And thank God it could have been a very different experience if we were like thunderstorming, you know, but
yeah, totally.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
Oh, good. And now your son, that was Luke that got married, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Now, Luke, if I remember correctly, he was the one that gave me fits on the baseball field, right?
That would probably be absolutely true. Yes.
Yeah. He was the catcher, right? He was a really good catcher.
Really good.
And, but not only was he a catcher, but you could never, ever like get to him. I was more of the mental game kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always like, I would try to mess with him and kind of get into his head. And he would just like look at me and smile and then like throw my runners out. It was exhausting to watch him play.
He's kind of one of those kids who is a freak of nature. Like you hand him a ball of any sport or a frisbee or anything, and he's just good at every sport.
Yeah, okay.
He's pretty amazing. Yeah,
he was definitely good. Like, he was good batting. He was good in the field. And, like, you know, being the catcher, he was kind of controlling the whole infield there. So
yeah,
I remember those years of just, like, seeing the Royal Blue team, you know, across the
absolutely
field. I'm like, oh, I gotta deal with that
kid
again.
Those were good days, Dan.
They were. Yeah, they were. So for those of you who know Colleen, and she is kind of local here to where I live in the western burbs of Chicago, and her family and my family kind of been running the streets of our town for, you know, 20-something yep years. So their kids have been doing stuff, and our kids have been doing stuff, and so we kind of interact that way. So we go back a long way with just being active in our community, which both of our families are. And with the intro, as the listening audience kind of heard, Colleen is kind of an expert in homeschooling, but a bunch of other stuff. But, you know, I figured that you would be a great guest to have on today because of the coronavirus and the remote learning that, you know, locally we're doing here, but really every school district around the country is doing. Yeah. Colleges are, you know, even colleges are taking their kids. Like, I still have two of my kids that are supposed to be in Arizona. They're still here. They're going to start remote learning for like a few weeks. And then, you know, school starts up legit on campus in like 3 weeks later, like the end of September. So they're getting a little bit later start. So people are either remote learning and parents are kind of trying to juggle that, how to figure that out. Okay, all of a sudden I'm a teacher. Or you're like the Abaticolas, who now we have our surprise fifth child, Grace, just is entering kindergarten. So we got everybody out of high school and Grace is just starting kindergarten. And we actually decided a few years ago that we were going to start homeschooling Grace. Had nothing to do with the coronavirus. So we just wanted to make a different kind of choice in her schooling, just to kind of see how public school, or what I call now government school, is how that goes. It's changed a lot in the last 24 years, I think.
A lot.
From the time that like our oldest were like in kindergarten to now, things have changed a lot. And some are good, some are bad. And just we wanted to, you know, kind of be in control a little bit more of our daughter's education. So we're homeschooling, had nothing to do with the virus, but we're pretty excited. But I know there are people transitioning because of the virus to homeschooling. Yeah. And then either they're forced to do some stuff because of remote learning. So I figured you'd be the really great guest to have on to explain a little bit about what are some good habits, what are some pitfalls, what are some benefits of homeschooling. You've been through it. You've had homeschooled all five of your kids. And that's a total of what, like 18 years or something?
Yeah, 18 years and counting. I'm a high school teacher by nature, which doesn't really qualify me too much more to, you know, teach a kid how to read, which I learned quickly. But helped when we were like doing Shakespeare in high school. That was really fun. But I taught in the Catholic school in Chicago at an all African-American girls school, which was an absolute blast, like right off 95th and the Dan Ryan for all of our Southsiders.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it was pretty intense. I like couldn't stay after dark to school, you know, and here I was, this little 23-year-old working in this really interesting situation. But I left that job when I got pregnant with our first son, Josh, and I had sort of 4 years off, I like to say, to just be a mom. Mm-hmm. And then we started homeschooling when he started kindergarten, and God had a really funny sense of humor. The week that we were starting homeschooling, I found out that we were pregnant with our third son, Noah.
Oh, wow.
And so it was sort of a baptism by fire, but it was such a gift to our family. And, you know, every day was not a gift.
Yeah.
But overall, it was an awesome experience. And we did something different with every kid. And I think that's one of the beauties of homeschooling, is that it's so customizable. You know, some of our kids went to the public school for a couple classes. Some kids started at the public school for a class or two in one grade, while others did it later. But you know, I think it's one of the greatest benefits of homeschooling, is it's a customized education, you know, in so many ways.
Yeah, totally. Was it something that you and Andrew talked about when you first got married, or, hey, we're homeschooling, or how did that decision to kind of homeschool, you know, how did you guys kind of, you know, kind of bridge that discussion, or was it always a thing that you were going to do? You know?
Well, it's so funny. People ask me that question all the time. Like, did you have a terrible experience in school? Were you bullied? Is that why you're homeschooling? You know? And actually, it was the opposite. I had a great experience. I went to a Catholic school in Oak Lawn, St. Linus Grammar School, and had a really great education there. And then I went to Mother Macaulay High School, which is the largest all-girls high school in the country, 2,000 women.
Oh, wow.
And then I went on to U of I, you know, with like 39,000 of my closest friends. And I had a wonderful experience. But in college, I think because primarily of what happened to my faith life, I really felt like I wanted to be able to nurture our children, not just in an educational way, but in the faith as well. And one of the things that my husband always says when people ask us about, like, why did you guys start doing this, is we hoped that this would be the case, and it was, that especially in the culture today, homeschooling allows you to keep the center of gravity in your family. You know, the average kid in second grade is going out and coming home from school and is like, Mom, my boyfriend so-and-so, or, you know, yeah, some teacher's dad, or they're throwing the F-bomb around or something like that. And you're like, oh my gosh, where did they hear all this stuff? What's happening?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think especially in those younger years, it's such a gift to sort of get them grounded in their lives, in the faith, if that's what your family wants to do. And really just, like I said, in a customized education. We all know how many times have any of us looked at our kids and we're like, how did you two children come out of the same womb? You know, they're so different. Yeah. And I think there's no better place that shows up than in how kids learn. So I had never heard of homeschooling. I knew nothing about it. And I started meeting people on the campus at the University of Illinois who were older and, you know, graduate students, and then friends like from the parish that we met there, and from church and from the community, who were homeschooling their kids. And I was just really intrigued and really impressed by their kids. And then, because God has a really funny sense of humor, when we moved to our first house in Westmont, my oldest was 3 and Luke, who just got married, was 1. And we happened to move on to a block where it was like a half block. There were only 10 houses on the block. Okay. And lo and behold, 2 other families on our block were homeschooling.
Oh, wow.
Which was, I thought, no coincidence. And that was kind of like, that just sealed the deal. I'm like, okay, now I have a little support system right on my block. And one of the families had 7 kids and another family had 4 kids. And so I was able to sort of be a little Padawan learner, you know, for those first couple of years and learn what I was doing and kind of just dove in. And here we are. I can't believe it.
Yeah, that's crazy. And so 18 years literally just flew by because...
It flew by.
And like you said, every kid is different. They learn different and you have to teach differently. You have to set things up differently for them. So mm-hmm. I'm sure it's been like a whirlwind. And if for you listening out there, if you haven't caught on yet, the Billing family is a family of great faith. They're very active in the local Catholic church here in town. And that's how we've pretty much started talking primarily because, you know, I was a pastor locally. And so we would kind of talk about our family, kids, baseball, but then also more importantly, faith. And so you're going to hear probably a lot of God talk come out of, you know, how they homeschooled, the decision to homeschool. And that's a great thing if you are someone who has faith in God and their relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's awesome because I think that, as she's already said, gives you the ability to instill that into the curriculum or the coursework for the day, which I think is awesome. And that's what we're excited about. But if you're not, there's still a lot of great benefits of homeschooling that I've learned so much just talking about this episode and kind of planning for it and do some research.
Absolutely. Kind of I agree.
Compulsory school is kind of like this, man, the more you look into it, and now I call it government school because it really is government school. And just kind of let me throw some stats out at you. It kind of started in the United States in 1852 by a guy named Horace Mann. He spent about 10 years lobbying politicians to get this compulsory school system started in the United States. So, you know, lobbying in the Washington, D.C. circles means to give people some money, you know, closed door kind of meetings, under the table kind of deals that no one really knows about. And really, compulsory school started in Prussia, which was really now modern day, we would call that Germany. And so it was really to get people in line, believe it or not, like to have the government in more control. That's how like the public school system started. That was the model out of Europe. And I thought that was so crazy for me. So mm-hmm. a lot of people, and it wasn't really popular in the 1850s and then through that century, when it was kind of being introduced and then basically forced upon the public, which it is kind of, you know, it is a little bit now, but we have our options now. But it wasn't really popular. People were kind of learning on their own and homeschooling, but that all changed because the government grabbed hold of it. And now it's, you know, you see like the teachers unions and the kind of what's going on with this coronavirus and kind of see how it's all political based and who really, who hurts the most, which is the kids and their education.
Yeah.
That's what really kills me and kind of makes me a little bit angry and annoyed, kind of see how politics have kind of gotten in the middle of all that. And great teachers, great principals, great superintendents, you know, all those things. But then just the system, I think itself is broken. And who pays for that is the children and the kids and the students.
Absolutely.
And so that's what really kind of makes me angry and annoyed. And so when we talk about this topic, this is an opportunity to educate your kids the way you would want them to have their education, but also to kind of give that creativity and get them out of rows and listening to bells and that almost that like factory style of schooling, getting them used to a lifestyle of just taking orders rather than developing who God created them to be and that creativity to kind of move forward and to grab hold of their future. And it starts with, you know, educating their minds and kind of understanding what they're good at and being in an environment where they are nurtured and kind of pushed in a direction that they were created to go. So I think for me, as we talk about homeschooling and what I've learned thus far, and it's a big jump because Nicole and I are not teachers, but we're pretty excited about the possibility of kind of grabbing hold of her education and kind of moving her forward. So with all that, let's kind of jump into it. Give us your 18 years in the span of like 50 minutes here. What is homeschooling? Give us some habits. What are some things that you did that kind of blew up in your face? Or what are some things that were awesome and the benefits of it? Now you're coming out kind of a different end here.
Yeah.
Kind of chat with us. What's homeschool for the Billing family? And then what can we kind of take from that?
Well, one thing that I wanted to say to sort of piggyback on something that you just said, Dan, was I guess like speaking directly to all of the moms and dads out there who are not walking into this with a degree in education. Even though I did have a degree in education, I was certified to teach 6th through 12th graders. When the day that we started kindergarten, I had no idea what I was doing. You know, like I was not trained to teach a kindergartner. I did not know how to teach somebody to read. And I remember talking with my girlfriend, who now is a dear friend, one of those families on our block who lived across the street. And she said, and I can remember it like it was yesterday when I was just expressing some of my concerns to her, like, am I really going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to give them the education that they deserve? You know, I don't have the training. And I just remember her looking at me and saying like, Colleen, if this is something that God wants you to do, and I really do believe that there is a calling involved in it. I don't necessarily believe that every single person should be homeschooling. You know, I think it's a call.
Yeah.
But if it's something that's pricking your heart, or there's just such an extreme dissatisfaction with the education you're seeing your kids get, if the reason that you're hesitating is because you don't have that education degree, you know, what she said to me really changed the course of how we started and continue to go. She said, if you love your kids and you're committed to their education, those are the only qualifications that you need to start homeschooling.
Wow.
You know, and I'm like,
yeah, oh. That's pretty powerful. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. Like I love my kids as a Christian. I love my kids, and I would add, and I want them to go to heaven. So
there's
a lot of garbage out there that I do not want my kids exposed to. And, you know, we used to apologize. We used to say like, well, I know people think that we're not trying to shelter our kids, you know, yada, yada, yada. Now I say, we are absolutely trying to shelter our kids.
I was just about to say that. I would say that in a second.
Yeah, but it was interesting, Dan, like many of my family and a lot of our friends who didn't know us that well were like, you guys are crazy. Your kids are going to be social morons. You know, all of those stereotypes. You're going to start, you know, wearing bobby socks and jean skirts with gym shoes all the time. Like what's going on? And we've heard it all. Our kids, there's a joke in our family that the people who can best make fun of the stereotypical homeschoolers are the homeschoolers, you know?
Yeah.
So there are all these hilarious videos out there. And, you know, my kids still quote them all the time. Like they put this funny voice on and they say like, all I need is my siblings. They're my bestest friends, you know, and like goofy things like that, that we just laugh about because really, for the most part, we had a blast and my kids came out, I think, better people because of homeschooling. So I guess to start the conversation, I would say that if this is something you feel you really want to do, or you think your kids need to do, or your kids are asking you to do it. I hear that all the time. My kids want me to homeschool and school them, but I don't feel qualified. That you don't have to have a degree behind you. You know, think back to your own education. Some of the teachers who had the most positive influence in your life, were they necessarily like the most educated teachers? No, they were usually the people who cared the most about their students, who desired the good for their students, and who were fun and made you want to learn, encouraged you to learn and to really embrace.
Yeah, they had a personality behind the curriculum, and they showed compassion and concern for you as you walked into that classroom. I think those are the teachers that I remember.
Yeah,
and I think no one else can do that better than your parent. And you know what really impressed me as you were talking about your own kids, because there's so many stereotypes about homeschooling kids, but your kids are always, even at a younger age, were always very impressive. Even when talking to Luke on the baseball field, always looking in your eye, always respectful, but could carry a conversation. And then you know, being a youth pastor for, you know, the many years that I was, I had a lot of homeschool kids kind of come through our youth group, especially at one of my churches. It was larger, a large size church. And so I had a number of homeschoolers. Now, sometimes those homeschool kids, they weren't like the really outgoing kids, but they weren't like sitting in a corner, like wearing all black and just, you know, playing 20 hours of video games, like a lot of kids that go to public school. So the stereotype of like being socially misfits is kind of overblown a little bit, I think.
Absolutely.
Or maybe even a lot of it. Yeah. Yeah. So, because I've met so many kids that went to public school who were in the corner, didn't want to talk to anybody. And then a handful of homeschool kids that weren't like, you know, social butterflies or super outgoing, wasn't going to be like the kid that jumps up on stage and does something crazy, but they could always talk to you. And it was just a different kind of kid and a different kind of outgoing. So that kind of stereotype blew up for me when I was in a youth pastor. And you kind of see it kind of all the, you know, kind of all the way through as you meet kind of different personalities, but you see different personalities in public schools and in private schools of every kid. And so that really, I think that gets overblown a lot.
Well, Dan, it's funny because, okay, these are the two things, right? A, I'm not qualified. B, I don't want my kids to be social morons. That's what I hear all the time. And I mean, if we're being honest, that is what people are worried about, because we all have met those handful of homeschoolers who, like you said, it doesn't mean it's because they're homeschooling, because those kids are in every group, private school, public school, who are just a little bit, either they're more shy or they're less able to maybe socialize well, but those kids are everywhere. But we all know people love to make fun of homeschoolers. So of course there was that thing out there when we started too, and I'll never forget going to a talk. There's a woman by the name of Kimberly Hahn. Scott Hahn is a very, very famous Catholic who has written a million books on the faith. He was a Protestant minister for a very, very long time. He's well respected in Christian churches around the world. And his wife, Kimberly Hahn, was also a minister, and they homeschooled all of their children. And she wrote a book on homeschooling, many books actually. And she was the keynote speaker in many homeschooling conferences that we went to. And I'll never forget her saying, she said, you know, the more I looked into this and thought about this, the more it sounded crazy to me. So think about the fact that what you're calling normal socialization is this. You take one adult and you put them in a room with 25 sixth graders who are hormonally insane, who are at a point in their lives where they're probably like trying to figure out who they are. According to the statistics of our culture, possibly up to 50% of them are coming from homes that are single parent homes, right? So these kids are dealing with a lot of stuff, and that is supposed to look like normal socialization. One adult and all of these kids who are going through a lot of different issues in their lives, and they're there for 8 to 9 hours a day with the same people over and over again. Okay, so now I want you to look at the average homeschool family, right? Now you've got a kid who is in sixth grade, but he also has a sister in fourth grade and maybe in second grade. And then maybe his brother is a freshman in high school. And then maybe he has another brother who's a junior and then one in college. Okay. And they're schooling together. Well, hopefully the college student is not homeschooling anymore, but
yeah,
that would be a bad example, but
yeah, totally.
So, I mean, I'm going to use our family, for example. We have five kids over a 10-year span. So for 2 years, I was schooling all five of them. When Sadie was in kindergarten and first grade, Josh was a junior and a senior in high school.
Oh, wow.
We had our school day pretty planned out, which I'll talk about that in a few minutes, like the importance of planning and organizing if you're going to be successful. But because there was so much less wasted time, my kids got to have all of this time doing all of these cool things that I believe helped with socialization more than the average kid who's sitting in a classroom. They got to spend every Friday with my mom and dad. We called it Grandma and Grandpa Day. We finished school because we could get done in 4.5 days because homeschooling is pretty much tutorial, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So we went out to lunch almost every Friday with my mom and dad. My dad told stories of the Depression and of the war, and they learned their history like live with Grandpa. They learned about what my grandma did during those times too, and her parents and my other grandparents who came over from Ireland, and they have these opportunities to interact with older people and more adults in their lives on a regular basis. So it kind of cracks me up when people meet my kids and they're like, wow, your kids are so well socialized. and I'm like, yeah, they are, you know?
And they totally look like hipsters too.
Well,
they wear stylish clothes and totally
they
hipster.
They actually know how to dress themselves relatively well. Yeah. Luke always made sure of that.
They do.
Luke was, you know, the most fashionable probably. So
yeah, Luke was like a GQ model.
Yeah, well, whatever. Don't say that. I'm not going to let him listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
We don't want him to get a big head.
Definitely. Well, he's married now, so she's probably keeping him in line. So
she is. She's awesome. She's wonderful. Yeah, so. Good. But anyway, so I think that is really important to note, that if you are worried, like my kids are not going to get the socialization they need, well, that really is up to you as a homeschool parent. As you well know, as you mentioned before, my kids were able to get their schoolwork done, not have all of this stress and pressure of so much homework all the time. How many of you out there can relate to that, pulling out your hair? And they played sports through the park district for 10 years, you know? So it's not like they're sitting in my house praying all day long or doing schoolwork, you know? Like my kids are normal kids, and we made sure that they had time not only to get out and meet other people, but also to play sports, to be involved in theater companies. You know, like the list could go on and on of all of the cool things that they got to do. I always say there are just as many opportunities for curriculum and for extracurricular activities for homeschoolers than there are for any other, you know, kid in a brick and mortar school.
Yeah, totally. And I love the idea of hanging out with grandma and grandpa and getting that like real life history.
Yeah.
So if you're like entering into homeschooling like we are, and you're thinking like, but even like not only grandma and grandpa, like you could take your kids or maybe a group of homeschool kids to like an old folks home to kind of talk to the folks that live there and just kind of hear their story and kind of like go back in their history. I mean, that's just a great opportunity for two generations to kind of come together and for kids to learn, especially from folks who have been around, you know, the world for many, many years. So I think that's a great idea. That could be a habit that people, you know, just listening to now that I didn't even really clue into, we could start doing that and give our kids a better, more than just reading it out of a book, but hearing it from someone that lived it, I think is awesome.
Well, and you know, like this is a silly thing, but people bring it up so much that I'll just go ahead and mention it. I always give my parents the credit for this. Because we had that opportunity to spend all of this time with my parents, and because we're all foodies and we love to eat, we always would go out to lunch. And I will tell you, my kids' manners at a restaurant were so impeccable from the time they were young, because they went out to eat every single week, and you know, they learned, we were able to teach them so much in life. We had a pond in our backyard, Dan. We called it our sixth child, so we did eventually fill it in because it was so much work. It was insane. But jeez. I can't tell you how many times we, you know, laughed about like, well, we got science. We have a science experiment project constantly in the backyard. You know, my kids are going to make fun of me. Not like we did very many science experiments. It was definitely like a lame weakness of mine. But I also have a family full of scientists. My husband's, yeah, that's another thing. You have to absolutely mooch off of the gift sets of your family members, right? Yeah. So my mom and my sister are reading specialists. So guess who helped me learn how to teach my kids to read? My husband is the baby of 7 kids. 5 of them are engineers and the other 2 are microbiologists.
Jeez.
You know, like they jokingly call the microbiologist the dummy sister. So, I mean, like one day, my son Noah went to work with his Aunt Pat, who's his godmother. She worked at Abbott Labs as a microbiologist. And they were like playing with dry ice and doing all of this cool stuff. I mean, stuff that you wouldn't get to do on a normal, like that a normal kid is not going to be able to do. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to go spend a day in the lab with my aunt because I can. And when she'd come over here, she'd bring cool things for and do little experiments with them. And, you know, being able to go to plays and being able to go to the zoo and actually learn about the animals by watching them interact.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we did this awesome unit on birds and then we got a bunch of bird feeders and we were able to identify birds and they made little bird journals. And like, there are 1,000 stories like that that I could tell. And the coolest thing for me as a mom is I got to watch that light go on behind their eyes every time they grasped an incredibly amazing new concept, which was small most of the time, right? But it was big for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I'm going to say this zero bragging because so many of my girlfriends who did not homeschool have these amazingly smart and brilliant kids, right? But I think like a pitfall for homeschoolers, and especially when you're starting and deciding if you can do it, is like, are my kids going to really be able to learn? You know, are my kids going to be as smart as, you know, Joe Schmo's kids? I have 2 kids studying in engineering right now, a chemical engineer and a civil or mechanical engineer. He hasn't decided yet. My 3rd son is studying business and marketing. And my daughter is in education, studying education. And my youngest daughter is interested in space. And she's probably going to work for NASA as an engineer, you know? So I got through, we got through it. And
yeah, definitely.
They're doing just fine. They're doing just fine.
I officially hate all your children now even more. That's so annoying. No, that sounds like that's awesome. And I could see, you know, all them kind of playing that part because, you know, just over the years of watching them grow up in our community and watching them interact with other kids and then, and just seeing who you are as a family, it's no surprise that they're going to be successful because.
You know what though? I also want to say this because again, I don't say this to be like, oh, we're smart and we pass it on to our kids and that's why we were successful. We were able to identify because we were watching our kids learn what they were interested in, how their brains worked, and how they learned. I have plenty of friends who homeschooled, did the same things, and realized for a couple of their kids, hey, she really would be awesome doing something else. Or my son is so amazing. Every time we had a break for school, he'd go out in the garage and he would make something. We should look into the trades for him.
Yeah,
he might be an incredible carpenter, electrician. Like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, my kid's studying chemical engineering and that's the success of homeschooling. I think the success is when our kids end up doing something that they're passionate about and that they love and they want to do.
Yeah. And the key with homeschooling is the parent who, and this is not a knock on teachers in the public school or wherever, in any kind of school, but they might get that. They might see that light bulb go on. And for a teacher, that is like, oh, that's that moment they got into teaching and that's why they love it so much. But I think you can't argue this point. It's so much more meaningful. And the opportunity is bigger when the parent sees that. And then the parent gets to lead and guide and direct them instead of the teacher. Yes. The teachers, sometimes the teacher, there's a lot of great teachers out there and they see that light bulb go off and they lead and guide and direct and encourage. And that relationship is lifelong because you hear about students going back to schools all the time. But I think it's a lot more meaningful and powerful if it's your own parent. I think that's the connection that really that God has given us with our children to help them grow and be the people they should be. So that's awesome. Yeah, that's Move the
Beans. If you're a stats and numbers person, you don't have to do a lot of research to see that kids who are homeschooled are extremely successful in their education in general. You know, I'll never forget when Josh was starting high school And now I'm getting excited because I'm like, high school. People are like, are you crazy? You're doing high school? I'm like, yes, I've been waiting for this, you know, to teach English to high school kids. Like, that's what I love to do. I'm still going to send them to school for math and science because I have zero desire to relearn, yeah. you know, any of that. Nor did I ever even take a calculus class. So when we were approaching the public school to try to get Josh in to take an AP chemistry class, nobody was homeschooling and sending their kids also to the public school. You know, there are a lot of like very, very intense homeschoolers who are like, all government school is evil. I would never send any of my kids for any reason to any school. And we are not those people. I think you have to look. We always say homeschooling is a decision that we make for 1 year at a time. And I think a big pitfall is not asking for the help you need. Again, you know, we had kids who had ADD. We had kids who had dyslexia. We had kids who had some special needs. And we needed to be able to pull in the help that we needed. So in Josh's case, I didn't want to teach AP chemistry when he was a freshman, you know?
Yeah.
So, or he was a sophomore, whatever. So the initial response of the public school, because they didn't know who any of us were, was like, well, no, you can't just send a kid here for one class, you know? And
yeah.
through dialogue and some good communication and, you know, kudos to our school district, everybody doesn't have the benefit of that.
Yeah.
They came to realize that this big slew of homeschool kids in our community were really great assets to their schools.
Yeah.
You know, and they came in, they were well educated, they were well behaved. They wanted to be there. They were serious about school. They weren't, you know, throwing the F-bomb out every 45 seconds. And it was a positive experience. So I think that it's a good witness too, just to say like, we're working hard, not only in educating our kids academically, but helping them try to become really good citizens and really good people.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Moral people.
When you guys started out, did you use because there's so many curriculum and like kind of, I don't know, like homeschool, I don't know if you call it, like companies
curriculum,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, curriculum. Okay.
Absolutely.
So did you use a certain curriculum or did you kind of just go into it on your own?
Great question. I get this question a lot. So when we first started, of course, you know, the teacher and me, I'm also a professional organizer. So I'm anal, you know, in 100 ways and an oldest child. So just, you know,
just for the record, Colleen.
Just for the record, type A.
Wait, 1 second.
Yeah.
We've had, I think this is episode like 35 or something like that, which I would have lost every bet. The fact that Colleen Billing was the first person to say the word anal on my podcast. So that's really good. So I really appreciate it.
I hope I'm not going to get in trouble. Yeah, totally. Maybe I'll get edited. Maybe I'll edit that out.
I think the context was okay. So go ahead.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I interrupted you being stupid.
I'm sweating a little bit now. So I put this for kindergarten. Here's the other thing I want to tell every single parent who's listening to this. Teaching kindergarten is just a blast and you can do it. You know, like there are so many resources out there. So I just did all this research and I put together a curriculum that I thought just looked really fun.
Hmm.
So I remember finding this book called Something Every Kindergartner Should Know, or The Things Every Kindergartner Should Know. And they have a book for like every grade. And then they have like a section in there, like the poems every kindergartner should learn, the songs every kindergartner should learn, yada, yada, yada. So we use those in those early grades for a lot of things, like basic history that you start to teach, you know, a kindergartner. So as the kids started getting a little bit older though, and I was schooling more of them, I wanted a little bit more structure. So we are really big fans of classical education. And so for us, we ended up becoming part of, here's the other cool thing. You can just do your own thing all the way through 12th grade and you can create your own at the end of it all, your own transcript for your kid, especially in the state of Illinois, that's allowed. Every state has different rules. I mean, some of my friends who school in other states have to turn in weekly lesson plans to, you know, certified teachers. Luckily for me, I was a certified teacher, so I would not have had to do that anyway. But in Illinois, you do not have to do that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, and I joke, Sue, some people say, well, isn't that terrible? I mean, what if somebody is a terrible teacher and they just want to, you know, not do anything and their kids are just sitting around? And I just laugh at that. I'm like, these are obviously people who do not hang out with homeschoolers. I'm like, homeschool parents are some of the hardest working people you will ever meet in your life. We're not sitting at Starbucks having coffee with our friends multiple mornings a week because we're teaching biology, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah, totally, yeah.
It's not something that we're not trying to get out of work, you know? So I don't think you have to worry about.
Yeah, if you wanted to go to yoga class, you would have dropped your kids off at the public school.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. And I mean, I'm not, you know, but I used the public school and I've used the Catholic schools and we've homeschooled. So I am 100% pro teacher, but I believe that the parent is the primary educator.
Yeah, absolutely.
No matter where your kids go to school. And nowadays, you're seeing crazy things happening in the schools where, and I think it's just going to get crazier, Dan. You had mentioned earlier, I'll finish the curriculum question first, but let's go back to that. But so there are a million different options out there. We used a program called Mother of Divine Grace because it was a classical curriculum. And I want my kids reading primary sources. I don't want them reading about Aristotle and Plato and about the great saints. I want them reading the actual things that these men and women had to say. I want them reading books that are older than 2010.
Yeah.
And written from a historical perspective. And that's a really big problem now. Like, they're rewriting our history books.
Yeah, they totally are.
In the school system right now. So a lot of homeschoolers are holding on to especially their history curriculum because pretty soon those books are, you're not going to be able to find them anymore. Now, I'm not a conspiracist or anything crazy like that. But I do think when we were considering sending my daughter to a particular school, and I took a look at the list that they were, the books they were going to read for literature, I was appalled.
Yeah.
I don't care what you tell me about how our kids need to get integrated into a regular society. You know, no freshman girl should be reading a story about a sexual assault.
Yeah.
When they are 13 years old.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sorry. That is absolutely 100% not going to happen.
Yeah, I ran into one of those in our high school years. One of my kids, and yeah, you had to call the teacher. You have the meeting, and like, what's going on with this book? So, and I think good parents do that. They kind of keep an eye on what's going on. They're not necessarily hovering over them all the time, but you are, like you said, the primary teacher, and you should be knowing what's going on. Yeah, you should be knowing what's going on in your kids' lives, and when they get into that school, you should, you know, right, understand what they're doing. So yeah, that's good.
Well, and there was a huge jump in homeschooling when Common Core came out.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people were like, this is crazy. No, we're not doing this. That was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back for a lot of families. And since the lockdown in March, homeschooling is up 90%.
Yeah, I've heard.
So
I've heard
if you're out there listening, thinking, could this be for me? You are the furthest from not alone that anyone's ever been.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Like you said, I think Common Core was the first. And then I think this was the second ball that kind of dropped that kind of is pushing a lot of people to homeschooling. I agree with that totally.
Dan, I would love to just like throw out, if it's okay with you, just I want to do this because I actually interviewed my kids.
Okay.
And asked them what they thought some of the benefits of homeschooling
were. Oh, nice. Okay, before you do that, real quick. Now, was that curriculum that you mentioned that you used, was that like a specific like Catholic curriculum? It sounded like very religious Catholic.
That particular one, Mother of Divine Grace, was a Catholic curriculum, but we also integrated some other things into it. We used something called Abeka, which is a Protestant curriculum.
Okay.
There's some of the big ones are, you know, Seton. Seton is a Catholic curriculum too, and Mother of Divine Grace, but Colby is another big one that people use. There's Modern Curriculum Press. I mean, if you literally Google homeschooling curriculums,
yeah,
you will be overwhelmed by what's out there. And some of them are so well organized that you literally can click, send me the box for first grade, for fifth grade, and for eighth grade. And bam, you will get a box in the mail that has a syllabi already, all the syllabi put together for you, and all the books that you're going to need, and everything.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Have you ever heard of...
Some people don't want it to be... Go ahead.
Have you ever heard of Classical Conversations?
Oh, yes.
Okay, that's
awesome.
That's the one we're using. Okay, good. So I'm glad you heard of that.
Yeah, it's great. Yes, Classical Conversations is great.
Okay.
History Around the World is a big one that a lot of people use too. And, you know, Saxon is a big math program that a lot of people, even who use different curriculums, if you have a really strong math kid, Saxon is a great math program. If you have a kid that struggles a little bit more in math, then teaching textbooks is a really great program that is all online, actually.
Okay.
Although nowadays, I think, especially for the families who had to endure all of the Zoom classrooms during lockdown are wanting to like run as far away from their computer as they possibly can right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, totally.
And that's a good thing. I think in a lot of ways, our kids aren't meant to be sitting in front of a screen.
You mentioned one curriculum called, did you say Seton?
Seton is a, Seton is the number one selling Catholic curriculum.
Really?
It's unbelievable. I used to speak at a lot of homeschooling conferences across the United States, and I spoke for Seton for a number of years, and I worked for them, and it would just blow my mind. You know, you go to a conference and there's a table. You know, most people have a table. You sell, you know, swag or something like that, and you have a little table for that, or you are a bookseller and you have a table for that. Seton would have like 10 tables that they would make a big square out of in the room. And they just had everything you could imagine, everything. So we love the artwork in the Seton books. Were so beautiful. We would use those like for spelling and handwriting and things like that. But
now,
you know, the little bit of rebel in me did like to customize every year a little bit.
Yeah, and Colleen is a rebel, if you guys don't know her, but she totally is. And I only brought that up only for a joke, because I don't think I would ever use that curriculum because it sounds like Satan.
And it's definitely the opposite of Satan.
Okay, good. I did some speaking
for them at conferences. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about your, you interviewed your kids and they have some perspective.
I think
would be really helpful to hear too. So so mom and dad were running around, mostly mom. Dad was at work. You were kind of navigating the homeschool, teaching. And then what was your kids' perspective on it?
So my kids now, we have two daughters, Sadie and Maeve, and they're 15 and almost 18. And then our sons, Noah's 20, Luke's 23, Josh is 25. And so just to kind of give a perspective, so literally, you know, we started schooling when Josh was 5 years old. And, you know, so 20 years later, I just literally sat in front of him a little while ago and said, okay, you know, start throwing it at me. Like, I don't want to hear any of the negative things. Like, just right now, give me the positive stuff, you know, and they all laughed.
Yeah.
And so very, very quickly, and I did it, like there were two of them in one room, and then I went and talked to another one separately. And the number one thing, Dan, that all of my kids said was family time. Like that is what they most appreciated about homeschooling. Mm. And the fact that there was so much time to just be a kid and to be with their siblings and to be with other members of the family. And like I was telling you about grandma, grandpa time and all of that stuff, it allowed us to do some of the coolest family vacations because you can take school on the road. And so we could go somewhere. I mean, and we could bring our, you know, their backpacks and we could do a morning of school. And then in the afternoon, we're climbing a mountain somewhere, you know, or whatever it was that we were doing. We were in the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas, and we would have time to go, you know, do a family retreat or something like that. So I thought it was pretty cool that they, looking back now, that is not to say that every day my kids loved being with each other. Believe me, that is a lie. Because it wasn't. But again, it's that whole, like, your kids learn to know each other in a way that they never, ever would if they're all in separate classrooms for 8 or 9 hours a day. So another thing that they all talked about was just the ability, like we've said several times, just that customization of their education. Every kid has strengths and weaknesses. And as an educator myself, sitting in a high school classroom, we all know, I think most of the teachers out there are going to agree with me, that there's no possible way that you can meet the needs of every single one of those kids sitting in your classroom. And you kind of have to teach to the middle a little bit. And the beauty of homeschooling is you don't have to do that at all. Mm. You know that, you know, Susie isn't it funny? Everybody kind of uses like Susie as a name for like a generic.
I guess so, yeah.
Some random thing, Susie. I don't know.
It's a homeschool thing.
You know, maybe it's a homeschool thing.
Yeah.
You know, like Susie is really struggling in math. So I'm going to take extra time that I need to make sure she's not just getting pushed through, so she's really understanding these concepts before we move on to the next thing. But man, she's amazing in writing. So I can give her like advanced writing, but we need to do a slower math program. you know, because again, it is really tutorial and it is so tailorable. Neighbors probably thought we were absolutely crazy. So my son, Luke, who, you know, loved to kind of do his own thing, and that's why he's going to, you know, rule the world someday, I'm convinced. He is an incredible, incredible musician, really, really gifted musician. And math did not love it so much, you know? So now some people probably would think that you should have called DCFS on me. I don't know, but I'm going to say it anyway. To get him to get motivated to do his math, what we would do, and he came up with this idea, and at first it sounded insane, but we went with it, is we would let him take his guitar. He would climb onto the roof of our garage. And he could take breaks playing music while he was doing his math homework. Okay.
Now
that sounds insane, right? On top of the garage roof.
Nice. Okay.
He needed some time away from his siblings, away from his mother, probably mostly.
Yeah.
But if you're a kid who really just does, I mean, he was good in math. He just didn't enjoy it. Right. So it was hard for him to be motivated to get through all those problems. But if he could be taking the breaks that he needed and doing something that was enjoyable for him. And it was like his music class also. He was also practicing the music that he was working on while getting math done at the same time. You couldn't do that if he was in a brick and mortar classroom. That's for sure.
Yeah, totally.
So again, they all mentioned that. Like, it was so nice that so let's say that you're doing a unit in history and you have fifth grade girl and a sixth grade boy. Well, that's another beauty of homeschooling. You can combo classes, okay? You can ask a lot of homeschoolers, like, wait, what grade are you in? And they'll be like, I don't know, like fifth, sixth, you know? And that's true, not because their parents are being lame, but it's because some subjects they're doing fifth grade with their sibling and another subject they might be doing like seventh grade. I remember when we were doing like Greek and Latin terms and Noah and Maeve were studying these. Really, I was doing them with Noah, but Maeve was in the room and she literally was like flying through these Greek and Latin terms faster than her brothers. Or maybe it was the state capitals or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so the kids like learn just from being in the background too. We always say like Sadie is as smart as she is because she went through school five times with all of her siblings, you know, but just enabling them to be able to work at their own pace was just such a gift and a blessing. So much. You don't even want to know the stats about wasted time in the classroom. And that's not the fault of the teacher. I'm not in any way bad-mouthing any teachers.
Yeah.
It's just normal that if you have 25 to 35 kids in a classroom, you are going to have to stop constantly while you're teaching.
Yeah.
You know, and how many minutes of actual learning happen in a 50-minute class period? Well, you don't really want to know. It's not a lot.
Jeez.
It's not a lot.
And I think like you said, that it's not the teacher's fault. It's the system. It's the system that they're in. I think that's why we see so many teachers that are really great over the years that we've dealt with them that reach a point where they're a little frustrated because I think they're in a system that works against them also.
Right. Oh, 100%. Yes. Yeah. And our teachers who are, you know, teaching in private schools, my gosh, these women and men are just, they're saints, you know, they're working for not a lot of money, Dan, and they're working really hard and paying for a lot of their own supplies in their classrooms and so on and so on. So anyway, one other thing that the kids mentioned that I thought was really cool was just the negative influences that they didn't have to be bothered with when they were younger, especially, you know, the fact that they were really sheltered from some of the stuff that can be really damaging to a kid. You know, kids are scarred and traumatized sometimes by a one-time incident that happens or something they're exposed to. Or some kid brings, you know, I hope I can say this on your podcast, but some kid brings porn that they found under their, you know, high school brother's bed into school. And the kids are in the bathroom looking at that and bam, a kid's life has changed because of that.
Mm.
And not that that can't happen in a homeschooling circle. It can, but there's maybe a little bit less, you know, opportunity there.
Absolutely. And yeah, I agree.
Also, Noah was saying like, Mom, make sure you talk about how much quality time we got to have with our friends because we weren't in school for 8 hours, then coming home and doing 3 hours of homework. Like for the rule in our house is here's your list for the day. Here's when, you know, Mom and I are going to work together. And when you're done, you're done. So when they come and say like, hey mom, can I go play with one of the abaticolas? I can say, I don't know. Well, show me your list. Did you check everything off? Is all your work done? So talk about kids learning early to self-motivate. You know, when COVID hit and my two daughters who were, they're in a little private Catholic high school in Lyle right now, Chesterton Academy of the Holy Family, which is an amazing little school. My kids didn't miss a beat, Dan, because they knew how to do school at home. It was hard for other reasons. My poor daughter may have had the lead in her play. It was her senior year.
Oh, yeah.
Those poor 2020 seniors, they got the absolute most raw end of the deal here. But, but as far as their education went, it was a no-brainer. They just jumped right back in and they knew what they were doing. And, you know, when you can work at your own pace and you finish, you're done. And they were able to go out and go on a bike ride at 2 o'clock with their friends and play frisbee in the backyard and have a wiffle ball game and go swimming and stuff that kids should be doing. I mean, who came up with this idea that kids should sit in a desk for 9 hours a day? I don't know.
I think it was Horace.
I don't know.
Man, I think I mentioned it earlier. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's what they want. They wanted to kind of program kids to think, you know, like, okay, we're going to, you're here for 50 minutes. When the bell rings, you're going to be good little soldiers and get up and move to a new room. And then we're going to throw some information at you there. And some of you will get it and some of you won't. And then 50 minutes later, a bell's going to ring and you're going to get up and do it again. It was kind of a training socialization kind of experiment, which I think is public and government schools. And I think it's not a great way for, you know, people to learn in general. I don't think it's, you know, for students and kids, it's just not a great way to learn. As we kind of look back at my own education, I went to a really large high school and I got kind of lost in a class of 1,200.
Wow.
I really had no one, like I met my counselor like maybe about a month before or two before I graduated. And she's like, what do you want to do with your life? And I'm like, I don't know. And I said, my friend's going to this college. And she's like, oh, that sounds like a good college. That's literally why I went to Columbia College, because my friend was going there.
Wow.
And that was a great school, but that I went to, but it was just too big. I was just a number in the system and I was just kind of shoved out the door. So not a great way. And before we kind of went on air, you were mentioning, which I thought was awesome, just the skills that your kids learned just around the house because they're able to kind of be in there more. What were some of those? Hit on some of those real quick.
Well, this is a kind of a funny story. I love lists and I love Excel. It's like my favorite thing in the world to make pretty Excel spreadsheets. So my kids joke, like, we have nightmares about Excel spreadsheets because they're everywhere in our house. Okay. You know, I think one of the most important things you can do if you're getting ready to start homeschooling, and I'm working with a lot of clients right now, getting a lot of phone calls, just like, help me figure this out. How do I figure out my space? And how do I figure out how to organize my day? I think that planning and organization is a really crucial part of having a successful school year.
Mm-hmm.
And to not, even if you're just e-learning, not to just say like, we're going to kind of wing it. We'll see how it goes. You know, I would sit down and this would take me a couple weeks. I usually did it in June, like right when this, you know, one school year ended, I would spend some time, think about what worked that year, what didn't work that year. And then we would kind of plan and organize for the next year and look at all of the subjects, how many days a week I wanted to teach them. I have a whole talk that I did on this, like how to set up your school schedule and then write everything out. So like Monday morning, okay, it's math time. It's breakfast is at 8. At 8:45, the math books are out on the table. Here we go. But I have a girlfriend and I love to tell this story because it really was a game changer for me. So we were already, I mean, my kids were already doing chores and they were already doing, you know, a lot of things around the house. But I remember when she came to spend some time with us and she brought like her youngest 5 or 6 kids and my 5 kids and they were all kind of the same age. And I remember just sitting kind of at her feet and picking her brain and saying like, teach me your ways, you know? And she just said, why in the world are you still doing all of the cooking? Like, your kids should be in the kitchen helping you all the time. And now my kids knew how to like, you know, chop a carrot and do like that. Like, no, you have this great opportunity for your kids to be planning dinner from start to finish. What do we need for the shopping list? What do we need to actually do to cook the meal, clean up, put the things away, you know, yada, yada, yada. And also like silly things like laundry. She said, why are you still doing your kids' laundry? They live at home. They're home all day. Give every kid a laundry day and everyone's in charge of their laundry.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I was like, oh my gosh. We had a system. It was working okay. So but it wasn't empowering them necessarily. So this quote that my friend Anne said that I've put into many, many talks I've given in homeschooling conferences is, she said, you know, my goal as a homeschooling Catholic mother is A, to try to help create an atmosphere that will help get my kids to heaven, to live a life for Christ and to get my kids to heaven. And B, my second most important thing is to create children who can leave my house at 18 years old and know how to run their own household. Mm. And it really made me reflect, Dan, like, okay, which of my kids have those strengths and those weaknesses in all of these different areas about what does it take to run your own household? You know, like, do they all know how to cut the grass? Do they all know how to change an outlet? Do they all know how to cook at least 5 or 6 meals? Can they do their laundry? Can they plan a party? Can they organize like having friends over and figuring out how much pizza you have to order? You know, like goofy things like that. That's like a big part of adulthood, you know?
Yeah, totally.
A lot of us go into marriage like having really very few skills.
Yes.
Because our parents' generation, like the moms were expected to do everything. Dad went to work. He brought home the bacon and mom kind of ran the show. And I mean, you know, we joked at my house because we were 100% Irish that, you know, we called my brother the king. All he ever had to do was cut the grass because he was a boy in an Irish family. So that was your one job. You had to cut the grass.
Yeah.
The girls did everything else. So it was kind of cool that my kids are, not that all of them are, you know, complete professional experts in all of this, but I think it's neat that they have some basic organizational house skills that I think some kids just, they literally don't have the time to learn, or they don't have to because it's getting done for them, you know, one way or the other.
Yeah. So, well, going into this, you hit me with a couple things that I was completely clueless on. And now that's one of them, just the opportunity to give your kids the resources and the opportunity to kind of learn stuff around the house that will help them, you know, into day-to-day adulthood, which is, that was a shocker. I never even thought about that. That wasn't even on my radar at all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, awesome.
Yeah. And like setting up the habits in the house to give your kids opportunities to learn those types of things. You can do that within the homeschooling system, which I think is awesome. As you're talking, I'm getting more pumped up for, you know, Grace doesn't sound like, maybe Grace isn't going to be excited as I am, but I'm excited for Grace to be involved in that kind of environment where she can kind of learn everything. And being the youngest of 5, and there's a huge gap with our daughter, Grace, she's already starting to do a lot of that stuff because she's so tied into mom and dad, especially mom, like cooking and stuff like that. So I think that'll be a really cool transition if we are mindful and set it up as a habit for her. And and for us as well. So I think that would be awesome.
And you know, studies show, and we've all heard this before, that when we actually write things down, we are more likely to be successful in accomplishing goals and tasks. And so I would highly recommend to any of the parents who are out there listening, thinking about starting homeschool, that you have a daily schedule. And that schedule includes all the learning that you want to get done that day, but also includes things like, well, when is the piano lesson going to be? And when are they going to have time to play? And when are they going to help, you know, with groceries? Or who's going to cook today? You know, my kids now all have a cooking night. We have to keep talking about that because then you get out of the habit and then we're eating like eggs and bacon a second night in a row, you know, but some people tease me. They're like, man, you are a lazy mother. Like, how many nights a week do you have to cook? I'm like, no, I kind of think I'm a smart mother because I only have to cook a couple nights a week now. But that was all because of and you know, that's a perfect lead in to say, I think a pitfall for a lot of homeschooling moms, especially, is just like, we have this glorified idea of what this like perfect little homeschooling life is going to look like. And our kids are going to be up every day on time and their beds are going to be made and we're going to get all the schoolwork done and we're going to have fun and the kids are going to love it. And you know what? Some days we never got out of our pajamas, which is a great homeschooling stereotype that I will say my kids joke, that's the best homeschooling stereotype because those days were awesome when my kids were in the public school, their friends would literally, because they were only ever there for like 2 or 3 classes at a time. So they would get questions all the time. Like, do you get to stay in your pajamas? You know, they would ask these questions and no one would be like, well, actually, as soon as I get home, I'm like putting my sweatpants back on and I'm going to jump back, you know, and They were like, oh, you're so lucky, you know. So just a fun little, a little thing. But I think we have to fight against that perfectionism, that there's one way to do it. There's not one way to do it. Every family has to do it the way that's going to work best for them. You know, but for us, because I love organizing and I had some teaching background, like it was more, a little bit more natural for me to do my lesson plans and have sort of things in order. And then it just freed up so much more time for the fun stuff. And, you know, like my daughter Maeve was able to come with me sometimes when I went to a client's house. Sometimes I would even take her with me on purpose and she would work maybe with the daughter of my client on her bedroom, on the, you know, the daughter's bedroom, and giving her tips like, oh, in my room, this is how I organize my drawers. And you know, in my room, this is how I'd, like, that could never have happened. She has these life skills now that she never would have had.
Yeah, totally.
She wouldn't have had this opportunity.
Now, just so my listening audience knows, you have your own business called Peaceful Interiors, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
now, is there a website we can guide them to?
Do you know what? I do not have a website because for 15 years that I have been doing this, it's been total word of mouth.
Okay.
And because I'm homeschooling for most of those years, I had to pick and choose when I could work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and now, you know, my marketing expert friends are like, you don't even really need a website. You can just go on Facebook and Instagram. So I do have a Peaceful Interiors Instagram account and a Facebook account that I'm just kind of getting up and rolling. So.
Okay. Well,
you know, if people needed help in any of these areas, getting ready for school or any of that, please feel free.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll put all those links into the show notes so that people, if they're interested in getting some, you know, some homeschooling tips, but also some organizational tips for their home, we can direct them to you too. So as we kind of wrap up things here, what is your kind of like your one source of, or one word of encouragement to the parents out there that are jumping into homeschooling?
Oh my gosh. I say, go with your gut. Go with your gut.
Okay.
You really believe that this is something, you know, I think, Dan, like, again, I'm going to attack this from a spiritual perspective, right?
Yeah.
If God wants us to do something, he tends to be annoyingly adamant about it. For me anyway, he works that way. Like when I was thinking about homeschooling, it was like, oh, suddenly all of a sudden a conversation would come up. In the grocery store, some woman was like, yeah, I've been homeschooling my kids. I'm like, whoa, really? Like, where did that conversation just come from? And then I'd go somewhere else and I would meet another family that was homeschooling. And then, like I told you, I move on this block that has two. I'm like, okay, Lord, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. So I think that just going with your gut and just believing that you can do it.
Yeah.
Because you really can. Most of our listeners are educated and they can teach a poem. And they can teach second grade math. They can probably even teach eighth grade math.
Yeah.
And you know what? I just went through high school, you know, five more times. So what a great benefit to me too, as a mother.
Yeah.
And I just say it's doable. It's doable. It's not this crazy weird thing that, you know, people out there do. It's something more and more that people are looking into and getting educated about. And it's actually a lot of fun. It's a lot of hard work if you're going to do it well, but it's also a lot of fun. And I can't even imagine not having had all of those thousands and thousands of hours a day to get to know my kids. You know, I like them a lot.
Yeah, totally. And it shows. Yeah, it shows. And that's awesome. And I think you've encouraged a lot of folks. And I think we really just almost, I don't know, maybe scratched the surface on all the stuff that you know and kind of been through in your history. So, you know, it's a long school year and we should probably have you back at some point this school year, huh? Just to kind of maybe get a halfway point.
I would love that.
And so I think I'll have a bunch of questions at the halfway point and Nicole will, and she'll get them to me. And so we'll tap into our homeschool expert here, Colleen, and then we'll kind of get some more discussion.
Well, I don't know about that, but.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I don't know about being an expert, but.
Okay. Yeah, totally. Okay, so
that would be awesome.
Anyways, well, thanks so much for being on. And, you know, so if you have any questions or comments for Colleen and you want to get a hold of her, I'll put all the information in the show notes and maybe we'll even just tag it on here to the ending once I kind of do that. So, Colleen, thanks so much for being here and I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Dan. I really enjoyed it. Good luck to everybody out there who's starting this great adventure.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Again, my thanks to Colleen. and all of her information. We're going to find Colleen. You can find her at Colleen Billing on Facebook, Colleen Billing on Instagram, or Peaceful Interiors also on Instagram. That's her business account. If you want to get some organization into your life and home, she can help you do exactly that. Again, thanks so much for listening. Hope it was helpful as we dive into this new school year. And until next time, folks, keep on moving those beans. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.